Proverbs chapter number 13 and verse number 20 is our text for this morning. You know, this summer we've been looking at the truth that if God be for us, we can have right relationships. Amen? Now, the Christian life was never meant to be lived in a vacuum. We don't live on an island. We aren't meant to live isolated. But one of Satan's most crafty tricks has been to get us to disconnect. You know, we started by looking at the home and looking at marriage and looking at the parent-child relationship. We've been looking at authority and a number of other different things. But one of Satan's greatest tricks in this day and age is that he has gotten Christians, really, he's gotten the entire culture to disconnect. In the name of being connected through social media, we have become very disconnected socially. And you see, that's a problem for the church. Think about it. If we cannot truly relate with one another properly, then we will never be able to relate the truth properly. The gospel of Jesus Christ was not intended to be a Facebook post. The gospel of Jesus Christ was intended to be lived and shared person to person in this relationship. You know, one of the reasons that we struggle so hard in discipling our children, by the way, that is what parenting is. It is discipling our children. One of the reasons we struggle so hard is because we don't have right relationships. One of the reasons that we struggle so hard in discipling those around us and those beneath us is because we don't have right relationships with authority. One of the reasons we struggle in marriage and in society, you can boil it down, one of the greatest struggles we have sharing the gospel is that we cannot relate truth because we simply cannot relate. So this summer we've been looking at the Bible truth about how if God be for us, we can overcome this disconnect, this destruction that the culture has created in human relationships, and we can relate properly. You know, one of the clearest proofs of our inability to relate is our current idea of social networking. It used to be that your social network began at your dinner table. It used to be that your social network then extended to the church and other community involvement and developed through face-to-face activity and interaction. But today's version of social networking is you isolated behind a screen, remarking on other people's isolated lives. To further illustrate this disconnect, consider this. We live in the day of the comment rather than the conversation. We live in the day of the comment rather than the conversation. I'll tell you, such emptiness will never fill the deep need of the human heart for close, true friendship. God knows our need for community. He created us. But He also gave us instructions on how we can build a real social network. So I want you to understand this morning, this message isn't meant to be shallow. It's not meant to be gimmicky. Understand, this message is meant to totally cause us to reevaluate how we consider our social surroundings and who we consider our friends and how we consider developing our friendships. Because if we can relate to others, then we can relate the gospel. So we're going to be looking Proverbs chapter 13, other verses in the book of Proverbs and elsewhere. This idea of building a real social network. Consider with me first this morning the concept of friendship. The concept of friendship. Verse 20 simply says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." There is a difference between being friendly toward someone and being friends with someone. There is a difference between being friendly toward someone and being friends with someone. You know, there is a common friendliness that we ought to share toward all humanity. Jesus walked friendly towards everyone. You know, we see Jesus walked friendly even towards the Pharisees. Luke chapter 7 and verse 36, we see, and one of the Pharisees desired him, Jesus, that he would eat with him. And what did Jesus do? Jesus went into the Pharisee's house and did what? Sat down at meat. He was friendly toward the Pharisee. He was friendly toward the publican or the sinner. Matthew chapter 9, verses 11 through 13. The Bible says, and when the Pharisee saw it, they said unto his disciples, your master eateth with publicans and sinners. When Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth, that I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. We see Jesus in his ministry was friendly toward the Pharisee from time to time, friendly toward the publican. He was friendly toward the poor. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 36. The Bible says this. We can turn there in our own scripture if they don't have it for our screen. Matthew 9 and verse 36 says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. That Jesus loved and showed care and compassion towards the poor. He showed compassion towards the plentiful. You see how Jesus handled the rich young ruler when this man came and sought Christ that he might know what he needed to do to have eternal life. By the way, we know that we don't do anything for eternal life. Jesus Christ has done it all. We simply accept what Jesus Christ has done for us personally. He was friendly towards everyone. Not only did Jesus walk friendly, but he taught friendliness. Matthew chapter 5, verses 44 and following, Jesus taught his disciples, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them that love ye, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans do the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what more do ye than others? Do not even the publicans also? Jesus walked and Jesus taught that we ought to be friendly towards everyone. You know, friendliness is a basic brotherly love. It is a compassion. It is a helping hand. We should offer that to anyone we can. There is nothing wrong with offering a helping hand to anyone that we can. There is a common friendliness that ought to exist in our lives towards everyone. But there is a committed fellowship that ought to be reserved and protected. While we see that Jesus was friendly towards all, Jesus was not friends with everyone. You know, Jesus only engaged in committed fellowship with a very few. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 13 said this, and when it was day, he called unto him his 12 disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he named apostles. And so of all the multitudes that followed him, Jesus called 12. And even of those 12, he had an inner circle of Peter, James, and John. There were three even that had a closer walk with Jesus than even those 12. Jesus was protective over his close companions. I want you to understand the difference between friendliness and committed fellowship. Friendliness is a basic brotherly love or compassion. But fellowship, and that word fellowship as it's mentioned in the New Testament, means a communion, a joint participation, or an intimacy reserved from the general population. John chapter 15, verses 13 and following, Jesus said this to his disciples. He said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Jesus said, look, fellas, there's an element of our relationship that I haven't shared with anybody else here on this earth. There's an element of communion. There's an element of intimacy. There's an element of joint participation that was reserved from the general population. And I'll tell you, while friendliness is a helping hand, fellowship is locked arms. The distinction between friendliness and friendship or fellowship needs to be understood and upheld. The problem is we live in the day of convenient acquaintances. But quality still trumps quantity. We look about our Facebook accounts and we say, well, how many friends do you have? Probably the wrong use of that word. But if we're honest, ladies and gentlemen, you look at the number of followers that people have on the Instagrams or the Twitters or the Facebooks, and if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes we hear those thousands or ten thousands or millions of followers and we think, wow, that's pretty cool. There's something to that. No, there's not. Not when it comes to the idea of having real, real friendships. We may live in the day of the convenient acquaintance, but quality still trumps quantity every time. The concept of friendship. Do you understand this morning the difference between being friendly and committed fellowship? You see, sometimes the church has completely lost the concept of friendliness. And we walk around with our noses up in the air and it's us four and no more. But on the other end of the spectrum, we have Christians who say, we ought to have no standards. And I can go do this terrible thing with this person, and I can go do drugs with this person, and I can go drink with that person, and I can go run around and watch those awful things with that person. Well, I'm just trying to be all things to all people, you know. I got to be like them to win them. Foolishness. Understand the distinction of being friendly with everyone we can, but being very choosy about our friendships or our fellowships. Understand this morning the concept of friendship. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Which brings us to the content of friendships. The idea of walking, verse 20, or being a companion, it denotes a mutual interest. You know, walking together or the quality of companionship demands that two share the same path. Friendship is based on something. Friendship is based on something. Amos 3:3 says this, can two walk together except they be agreed? C.S. Lewis said this. This is such a tremendous quote. And I'll read it twice. We picture lovers face to face, but friends side by side. Their eyes look ahead. This is C.S. Lewis, not me, so don't get mad at me. He said, this is why pathetic people who simply want friends can never make any. Because the very condition of having friends is that we want something besides friends. Those who have nothing can share nothing. Those who are going nowhere can have no fellow travelers. I read that and I thought, wow, that's deep. And you think of it this way. We go back to the illustration that I gave before. That it's a good idea. It's a wonder. It's Christ-like to have a helping hand to anybody that we can. You know, help you up. I'll help you along. I'll help you. Come on, let's do this. But I'm not going to link arms with just anybody. Whew. That would be unwise. I got to be choosy. Come here. Now, we link arms together. This is companionship. It's like football face, okay? This isn't girly face, football face. We're going somewhere. Now, our eyes are pointing where? Forward, straight ahead. It would not, stay right here, don't move. It would not be a weird thing, for me anyways, it would be for all of you, for me to sit like this and look at my beautiful wife. Because we have a different relationship. If I did that with him, we'd have so many problems. But I want you to see something. We are locked in. We are walking the same path. And we are heading somewhere. Our companionship is not built on this. It's built on this. Not this, but this. Do you see what I'm getting at? There are a whole lot of people. Thank you. You can sit down. There are a whole lot of people who come to church and they say, oh, I don't have any friends. And oh, I wish I had friends here. Let me ask you, what are you doing here? Where are you headed here? I tell you, if you want friends, get involved. Friendships are built on something. And the problem is we have Christians today who warm a pew, but don't ever get involved in the work. And they wonder why they can't build relationships. Because friendship for the sake of friendship is so shallow and it never lasts. Walking together demands that the two share the same path. I'm going to mention this. That is why the concept of separation from the world ought to be a natural thing for the believer. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14 says this, be not unequally yoked together. Don't yoke up with an unbeliever. This verse speaks to so much more than just not marrying an unbeliever. Don't yoke up. Don't have that companionship with an unbeliever. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? The Lord looks at us through the Apostle Paul and says, understand this, church. You can't yoke up. You can't have fellowship with this lost, depraved, sin-filled world. Because if you are in Christ, you don't share anything anymore. And how can you build a relationship when there's nothing in common? I'll tell you also, this is why the church is a natural place for Christians to find their closest companions. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 19 reminds us this. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. If we have Jesus Christ in common, I tell you, we have all that matters. If we have Jesus Christ in common, we have what matters. The content of friendship, it is based on some sort of mutual interest. We are linking up for some purpose. That's why I tell you, some of the closest friends I have ever had in church are people that I've gone out on visitation with. Why? Because we have linked together for a purpose to let others know about Jesus Christ. You want a friend? Get a partner and go out on visitation. You want a friend? Get a partner and work on the bus route. You want a friend? VBS last week was a beautiful time to make some friendships in the Lord. I mean, if you like activities, you could have made friendships over the game time in the gym. If you like food and cooking and all that, you could have made some friendships over the candy and the cakes and the cereals and all that other good, the pretzels and whatever else they had in there, the Hawaiian punch. If you like drama and you like laughing and having a good time, you could have made some friendships. I tell you, there was one mad scientist who would have gladly given his role to anybody who would have asked. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want friendships, get involved. Mutual interest. And by the way, I want you to think about this. What do your friends say about you? Hold on now. Think about the companions that you actually have. And what do they say about you? What interest do you share that has brought you together? Because who your closest companions are do a lot to reveal what your great interests are. Birds of a feather flock together. You know, I went to camp with the kids again this year. I got to go. Been a year or so off, but I got to go back. But it's amazing. Do you know what happens? they get there and they're all nervous and they're like, oh, what are we going to do? And we don't know anybody and we're going to be put in cabins with people we don't know. And, you know, all these teenagers are all, you know, the guys won't admit it, but they're all a little nervous and not really certain. You know, it doesn't take 6 hours. And the sports guys have found the sports guys. So. And the girly girls have found the girly girls and the goofballs have found the goofballs. And the people who want to play the little card games have found the people that want to play the little card games. And the people that are really kind of too cool to do anything and just want to sit and sip coffee all day, they've all found each other as well. It doesn't take long. Birds of a feather flock together. And it's amazing the way friendships will very, very quickly form over mutual interests. What do your closest companions say about what your greatest interests are? The content of friendship is a mutual interest. But it also demands a mutual involvement. You cannot yoke up without being involved. Closeness or intimacy demands involvement. It demands conversations, not comments. And yet sometimes involvement is inconvenient. You know, I'm reminded that anything worth having is worth working for, and friendships are no different. Involvement includes, but is not limited to, your time. Talking. Sharing both triumphs and tears. Proverbs 17:17 reminds us that a friend loveth at all times and a brother is born for adversity. Involvement demands thoughtfulness. It demands tolerance. Let's be clear. All of us need to be tolerated to one extent or another. It demands truthfulness. Proverbs 27 verses 5 and 6 tell us, open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Sometimes friendship means you have to give the truth in love and you have to get involved. You know, a friend will stab you to your face while your enemy will stab you to your back. But I'm thankful for people who are willing to tell me the truth. Paul said to the Galatians, he said, am I become your enemy because I've told you the truth? Friendship demands involvement. Demands transparency. But all of these things are almost things that it seems like we've forgotten how to give. It seems like in the effort to post the perfect selfie, we have forgotten how to be real. We have forgotten how to let people see the 17 photos we deleted before the one we posted. That was more for the ladies. We don't do that. Be real. Be involved. Friendship demands involvement. One of the things that I hear most often is how lonely people are. How much people really desire a friend. People desire a companion. And I tell you, it comes because we have mutual interests and there is a mutual involvement. We see the concept of friendship. We see the content of friendship. Finally, this morning, let's look at the consequence of friendship. Verse number 20 says this, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You know, one of the consequences of friendship is a shaped development. Our development is directly affected by those that we walk closely with. I think about my good friend Dan Utley. He's going to have a baby this week. That's exciting, isn't it, church? Well, his wife's going to have a baby. Why do I keep giving you all the credit? I tell you, if you've known Dan for any length of time, he has one name for everybody. Buddy. Buddy. And I can remember some of those first weeks and months, and I'd be over at the radio talking to him, and they'd be, hey, buddy, how are you doing? And I'm like, I'm good. Then his wife would call, and he'd say something to Buddy, and I was really confused who he was talking to at that point. And then Dave would come out, and it'd be Buddy, and Michaela's Buddy, and everybody's Buddy. And I'm going to be really confused now, because now there's going to be another one, and I have a feeling he's going to be Buddy as well. But you know what I found myself doing over the last several months? Hey, Buddy. How's it going? Why? Because it's contagious. You know, it's silly to think of it in that light. But the truth is our development is shaped by those that we spend time with. Our development is shaped by those that we have friendships with. For good or bad, there is no such thing as a neutral friendship. Believe it or not, and this may come as a shock, those who do not love God will not help you walk with God. Those who do not love God will not help you live for God. Proverbs 22 gives us some warnings, verses 24 and 25. He says, make no friendships with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Proverbs 27 and verse 17, one that we're all very familiar with. The Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. We are constantly being challenged by our companions. Someone wisely said that we are now, or we soon will be, what our friends are. I admonish you this morning to evaluate the direction of your friends. And what does it say about your prospective development? In 6 months, are you going to be closer to Christ for walking with them or farther away? Are you going to have more victory over sin or are you going to be further enslaved to sin? Evaluate the direction of your friends and what does it say about your development? And by the way, that ought to be something that we look at when we seek to get new friends as well. Now, are any of us ever going to be on the same level? Probably not. We're all at different points in our Christian life, correct? But what's important is not that I'm as strong as you are or that you're as strong as I am, but that we both have our eyes and our hearts firmly set on living for God, on being more like Christ, on sharing the gospel, on doing the will of God. I tell you, if you link arms with a complainer, buddy, I've seen it more times than I can count. It won't be long before I don't want to start anything, but please, heaven help us. Lie. You know, if you link arms with an angry person, I tell you, it won't take long. It won't take long. You link up with a godly person, I tell you, there's something about when you join arms, when you yoke together and you're moving to that common purpose, that common cause. I'm telling you, folks, the consequence of friendship, it will shape our development. But not only does it shape our development, but it also settles a destination. Verse 20 says, if you walk with wise men, you will be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Ladies and gentlemen, we choose our companions, but we do not choose the consequences. You know, in all my time being here and in my time working in the Christian school and my time working in the youth group, I have never known a young person to go through the youth group or go through the Christian school and walk out on God by themselves. They and their companion or companions had done so long before. We can choose our companions, but we do not choose the consequences. Proverbs 2, chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. It says, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Friendships act as either a bridge or a barrier to the good will of God for those with whom they walk. Friendships act as a bridge or a barrier to the good will of God for those with whom they walk. And we wouldn't dare consider ourselves the exception to the rule, that somehow we are above the principles that God has set in place. Ladies and gentlemen, if you walk with wise men, you will be wise. If you walk with fools, you will be destroyed. And we could sit this morning and give illustration after illustration in your own heart and mind. You've probably already thought of people whose lives are in shambles because they've yoked up with somebody that they had no business yoking up with. But I'll remind you as we talk about the consequences of friendship in a settled destination that there is one friend and companion that we simply cannot afford to be without. Proverbs 18 and verse 24 tells us this: a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, I remind us one more time that there is a God in heaven that loves you. That loves you so much, the Bible says, that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Remember what Jesus said in John 15 and verse 13? That greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did for us. The Bible teaches that the wages of the consequences of our sin is death. Death. Somebody has to die to pay for sin. And Jesus Christ laid down His life on the cross of Calvary so that you and I, that verse finishes, with the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends in this world will fail you. Friends will come and go. Friends will be closer to a greater or lesser extent, but there is one friend, there is one companion, the Bible says, that will be closer than a brother, that will never leave you nor forsake you, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your friend, as your Savior, if you don't know for sure that if you die today, you go to heaven, you can know. You can know. God desires a relationship with you more than you could ever desire a relationship with Him. And I'm telling you, we were created with a need for God in our lives that no man can fill. You will not have a friend of this world that can ever take the place of the friendship that God designed to have with you. We need this friend for salvation. But we also need this friend for our daily steps. I tell you, it's time for sinners and saints alike to get serious about a relationship with God. Because I wonder how many people this morning who are Christians, who have been born again, trusted in Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross, I wonder how many of us have spent any time with our friend this week. I wonder how many of us have spent time in His Word. How many of us have spent time with Him in prayer? How many of us have spent time meditating on the good things of God? Regurgitate, just thinking over and over again about how good God is. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to get serious about our relationship with God. You know, being disconnected is frustrating. One of my greatest struggles in life, I struggle with this so much, it's when I call and my wife doesn't answer the phone. Oh. Sometimes I'll call 3, 10, 15 times. And I want to say, I want to say, why do we pay X amount for a phone bill every month? Yeah. Hey, come on, that's good preaching. But to be in a disconnected world, I tell you, it's frustrating. And today's social networks, they're really just a shallow, empty husk of what God intended for us to have. You can have meaningful friendships and companionships. You can. But to get God's results, it must be done God's way. Can I challenge you this morning? No matter what stage you are in your Christian life, you may have just been saved. You may have been saved for 30 years. You may be 30 years old. You may be 90 years old. Quit sitting around thinking you don't fit in and just make the decision to get up and get in, and you will be amazed at the people that God brings along your way. You be the right one and God will bring the right people. The most important relationship, though, that you can have is the relationship that makes everything else click. Can I tell you, you cannot be the right friend. You cannot be the right spouse. You cannot be the right parent. You cannot be the right boss. You cannot be the right employee. You cannot be the right anything until you know the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And that friendship is one step away. What did James say? Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in an absolutely disconnected world where we leave, we shake hands and we smile at people and we go sit in our homes and stare at screens or sleep. We're so disconnected, but that's not what God intended. Let's get off of the world's social network and let's, by the power of God, seek to build a real, right, godly social network right here where we link arms with one another. The young with the old. The old with the old. The young with the young. The rich and the poor. Let's link arms. Our eyes firmly planted on the will of God. And let's, ladies and gentlemen, do something together for the cause of Christ. Real social networks. Stand together. Father, we love You.